Blog Talk Radio.
Blessed to you, Yahweh, Almighty One, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered for truth. Blessed to you, Yahweh, who chooses the Torah, Moshe his servant, Israel his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. Hallelujah. Abiyah, in the name of thy Son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, our soon coming King. We thank you for the gift of life. We ask you, Father, to forgive us for all our sins and all our iniquities. We ask you to hear our prayer, Father. Father, thank you for this season. Thank you for this time being out here in the wilderness, this time of Sukkot, this time that you have set apart for your people to come and meet with them. Father, thank you for family, all the lessons and blessings that you have bestowed upon us out here in this wilderness. Thank you for just peace of mind, Father, personally for me. I hope everybody else has peace of mind also, but this time more than ever gives me peace of mind, Father, stress-free. Just learning about you, Father. Father, we ask that you open up our ears and our eyes and our mind to your word and that you reveal everything to us, Father, that we can handle, Father. And for those who don't understand at the time, Father, give them the strength to keep on walking. Give them the strength to overcome any obstacles that hinders their walk. And show them the lessons, Father. Inch by inch, step by step, Father, make us better sons and daughters, better servants for you, Father. Father, we ask that you continue to bless Israel. We ask that you protect them, protect everybody who's out here in honor of your Sabbath, the four corners of the world, Father, all your redeemed, Father. We ask, Father, that you just continue to lead us and guide us and open up thy word to us, Father. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, family. Welcome to cool. I was just about to say that. Welcome to Magnify the Torah and Make It Honorable. I wanted to say Bible 101, but it ain't that no more. Magnify the Torah and Make It Honorable. We're out in Sukkot, out in the wilderness, continuing the feast of Sukkot, continuing to learn about the Most High. And today we're going to talk about something that is very apparent in this world. And we're going to be talking about abomination and what the Most High says abomination is. How he sees things, because that's the one thing that when Yahweh gave me this lesson, he will magnify his Torah and make it honorable, meaning he's going to grow that Torah within you and give it some weight, so to speak. Because when you talk about make it honorable, that means the Torah is going to start carrying weight, as people say. It's going to mean something more to you. It's going to be more precious to you. But in order for that to happen, we have to understand basic principles, because what the world has done is complicate things. The world has taken this Torah and taken simple concepts and simple truths and complicates it, and we're going to learn about that within the Word, you know? So let's start off with this scripture here. Very important scripture when you look at why things are the way they are. In Genesis 11:1, it reads, and if anybody has any questions or comments at any time, raise your hand and chime in. We'll definitely, if you have a comment when you're not here, type it on the internet. You know, and we'll get to it. Because, again, magnifying the Torah, make it honorable. If you have these questions and don't answer them, don't expect any growth. All right? If you want to hold on to your stuff and not allow Yahweh to be Yahweh, don't expect any growth. He wants you to ask questions. He wants you to go through that word, and he wants you to kane bina, get understanding. All right. So in Genesis 11:1, it reads, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. Now, when you think of the purpose of language, let me ask y'all, got a couple brothers here, got brother Anderson here, got brother Ivy here. What is the purpose of language? To communicate, right?
And to praise the Creator, give Him glory.
Praise the Creator and give Him glory. But it's to get to make sure the lines of communication are not scrambled, right? Because if I'm talking to you in Chinese and you don't speak Chinese, there's no way you can understand me, correct?
Right.
No communication. So at one time, the whole earth communicated in a way that everybody understood, right? Because the whole verse was of one language and one speech. So everybody got it. It wasn't no discrepancy on what a tent is, because everybody understood what a tent was. Everybody was speaking the same thing, same language, same speech, right? But then we read down a little bit more. In verse 6, it says, Genesis 11:6, it says, and Yahweh said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they began to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So, and we are all familiar with this. This is where the people was of one language. They started to build the Tower of Babel, Tower of Babel, right? So because this was an affront to the Most High, he allowed the languages to be confounded. Now, with the confounding of language, what now was a sure thing, now people are opening up their opinions on stuff. So now what everybody saw as a tent, now there's a pup tent or a temporary dwelling or, you know, other ideas of a tent came in. And it kind of confounded the language. So now you have what's going on. You have all these opinions coming out. See, because remember, there was a time in the earth where man is fresh on the earth. And there was a name for everything. But these people were in one spot. So all they knew about was one spot, right? And it was of one language. So as they explored and they learned new things, the one language kicked in and everybody understood. That was tree. You know? There you go, tree. And now, as time went on, new things, they discovered new things. Okay, that's tree. What is this? This is sort of like a tree, but it's not a tree. Let's call it a brush or a bush. All right? And as it kept on, as man explored and he found things, the one language kept everything cohesive. But with the affront to the Most High, now you have a confounding of the language where one thing, where a thing was sure at one time, now it's not so sure. Where everybody saw things one way, now opinions have kicked in, and everybody's opinions confound the simplicity of the word. That's what they done. Where Yahweh said, "Let there be light." Well, we kind of like it. Is it this light, or is it a light of the lamp? Is it the light of the sun? Is it the light of the moon? Is it? But Yahweh said, "Let there be light," because everybody has an opinion now. Then, as earth and time moves on, it gets deeper. Because now people have to philosophize things even more so. Because the confounding of the language was stuck, but it just kept on getting more confounded as time went on. It didn't get simpler. The more it just kept on raveling up and kept on raveling up and kept on raveling up to the point where nobody understands the word no more. So Yahweh said, start over. And that's what we have to do. We have to get back to the simplicity of the word. See, because if we don't get what Yahweh say, we're going to miss it. That's why there is so many people out here fighting for the LGBT and Q's and I's and all these extra letters that they keep on popping on every other week. Because what's an abomination? I saw one meme or post on Facebook where it talks about, they was talking, you know, homosexuality is an abomination. All right, we get that. Oh, well, you got to preach the whole word. The whole word, it says mixed fabrics is an abomination. And doing this, that, and another is an abomination. And doing this, that, and another is an abomination. That's okay. You're right. But guess what? When you look at the word abomination, he's kind of specific in the way he uses different words, because every word that is abomination ain't the same word. It's a translation. And that's the part that people miss. You know, when you look at how the Most High uses the word, you'll see what he means by abomination. Right? So that's what we're going to do today. We're just going to look at different ways that he's used this word. And we're going to, it's a couple words that he used for abomination, but we're going to look at just three of them. Right? Now, the first word we're going to look at is pause. Sorry about that. My phone's a little slower than most. All right. It's in Leviticus 7:18. Can't talk right now. All right, Leviticus 7:18, and it reads, "And if any of the flesh of the sacrifice, excuse me for 1 second." right. All right. Leviticus 7:18. It says, and if any of the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering be eaten at all on the third day, it shall not be accepted, neither shall it be imputed unto him that offered it. It shall be an abomination, and the soul that eats of it shall bear his iniquity. So now, when you look at this word for abomination, this word is pigul. In Hebrew, it's number 6292, right? And it means, it says, from an unused root, meaning to stink, properly fetid, that is unclean, right? Now, that was Leviticus 7:18. If you look at Leviticus 19:7, this is Leviticus 19:7. It says, if it be eaten at all on the third day, it is abominable, and it shall not be accepted. Same word, pigul. And Isaiah 65:4. This reads, which remaineth among the graves and lodge in the monuments, which eats swine's flesh and broth of abominable things in their vessels. That word abominable, pigul. In Ezekiel 4:14, this reads, and this is one of our favorites because this is when the Most High told Ezekiel, eat something made with dung. That's what he says. I, Master Yahweh, behold, my soul hath not been polluted from my youth up until now. Have I not eaten of that which dies of itself, or is torn to pieces? Neither came there abominable flesh in my mouth. Again, the word abominable, pigul. So, if you look at how that word is being used, it's talking about stuff that you eat, right? It's not talking about how other people use it and say, well, this is nasty, or you can compare that to the act of homosexuality. No, because the word pigul is actually talking about abominable things that you eat, stuff you shouldn't put in your mouth, stuff you shouldn't eat, because that's what he's dealing with, food, right? So, let's look at another one. Now, right, we're going to start this one in Leviticus 7:21. And this reads, moreover, the soul that shall touch. Now remember, the first one that we had was in Leviticus 7:18. This only three verses down. It says, moreover, the soul that shall touch any unclean thing, as the uncleanness of man, or any unclean beast, or any abominable unclean thing, and eat the flesh of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which pertain unto Yahweh, even that soul shall be cut off from his people. Now, this word for abominable, you see it, right? Totally different number. That word is sheketz. Number 8263. And this thing, this word comes from, it means from filth. That is figuratively or specifically an adulterous object, right? So, in Ezekiel 8:10, it says, "So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping things, and abominable beasts, and all the idols of the house of Israel, portrayed upon the wall round about." So he saw pictures of all kinds of stuff that was within this, because this is where this is a vision that Ezekiel had. And it was pictures of all kinds of abominable beasts painted in the house of Yahweh, because they went into the inner chambers. Yahweh was showing Ezekiel at the time what was in the secret chambers that Yisrael was doing, right? In Isaiah 66:17. It says, "They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens behind one tree in the midst, eating swine's flesh and the abomination and the mouse," the word abomination again, she gets, "and the mouse shall be consumed together, saith Yahweh." So you have a ritual going on in this, because they're behind the tree. But within that ritual, you have the eating of abominable things, like how the one that comes to my mind is a luau, how in Hawaii they have the little dancing going on or whatever. Now, I've never been to a luau. I don't know if there's any ritual behind it, but I associate people roasting their big pig with a luau. So you got the dancing going on and this, that, and another. Well, think of it doing that, but that's in praise to their mighty one, right? Now, this word continues in Leviticus chapter 11, right? Now, what's funny about this is when you're looking into those two that we saw, it was in relationship to the idols. Something was written on the wall. And it was in relationship to a ritual. But when you look in Leviticus chapter 11, you hear all these abominations, because from verse 10 all the way down to verse 42, when it talks about the abominable things, it's this word sheketz, right? But this is the dietary law, right? So what is he associating the dietary law with? Where is he associating people? Because have you ever told somebody about the dietary law and they say they got to pray about it? Like, you're not supposed to be eating no shrimp, man. That's not good. The words say this. Oh, I got to pray about it. I had that told to me more than one time. Why you got to pray about it? Who you praying to about it? What has this food become to you? I mean, what has your desire to eat these unclean meats become to you? If you got to pray about it, when the words say, don't eat it, just give it up, you know? And we're not going to read all of them, but I'll read this first one, right? It says in Leviticus 11:10, it says, "And all that have not fins and scales in the seas and in the rivers, of that move in the waters, and of every living thing which is in the waters, they shall be an abomination unto you." Think about why lobsters cost so much and shrimp cost so much and all these different mahi-mahi. I think that's a shark, isn't it? Or something. It's not. Yeah. It's not. It's a shark. Yeah. All these things that people aren't supposed to eat cost your arm and a leg to eat. And they're delicacies. Escargot. You know, the eggs of snails. You're not supposed to eat no crustaceans. Clams, mussels. Oysters. All this stuff costs your arm and leg to eat, and elite people eat it. Caviar. You know? What is it to them? Why is the eating of unclean things a status symbol? You know? So, that's the word for sheketz. Now, we're going to look into another word. Any questions so far or comments about anything? Okay. Right. Now, in the book of Leviticus 18:22. If this reads, Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Right? Now it says, when we look into this one, we're going to look into the Hebrew first. Now, this word abomination for this one, this word is Toebah, right? This is number 8441, right? And it means properly something disgusting morally. That is, as a noun, an abhorrence, especially adultery, an idol, an abominable thing, a custom, an abomination. These are some of the words that has been translated for. But with this one, see, this is something that the Most High hates, right? When you're talking about this one, you're talking about something that is abhorred. This is something that when I look upon this, I can't stand this, you know, versus something that is filthy that you shouldn't put in your mouth. I don't want you to consume this. Versus an idol, something portrayed, this, that, and another. See, this is where Yahweh kind of get personal with it, so to speak.
Right.
You know, this is personal for the Most High, right? And so when people say all these different things about abominations, when you get to this one, Yahweh is just letting you know, I hate this. This right here, above all, because I believe out of all the different words that has been used or translated as abomination, this is the one that's been translated most, I believe. I'm going to have to check that one, right? Okay, so let's go back to something. Let's look into this, right? We're going to come back to this verse, but let's look at something from the very beginning. In Genesis 43:32, right? But this is all. This is Toba, right? He says, Genesis 43:32, and they set on for him by himself, and for by themselves, and for the Egyptians. Let me go back up. Let's start at 30 to get the whole idea, right? Genesis 43:30. And Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brothers, and he sought where to weep, and he entered into his chamber and wept there. So this is when his brothers came down, but they didn't know who he was, right? They didn't know who Joseph's brother was, and Joseph's brother didn't know who he was. And he was like, he couldn't hold it anymore for seeing his brother. He said, so he went into his chambers and wept there. 31. He says, and he washed his face and went out and refrained himself and said, set on bread. 32. And they set on for him by himself and for them by themselves. So it was a table set up for the Hebrews, and it was a table set up for the Egyptians, right? I put bread on the Hebrew table. I put bread on the Egyptian table. And for the Egyptians, which did eat with him by themselves, because the Egyptians might not eat bread with the Hebrews, for it is an abomination unto the Egyptians. Now, are you talking about the same bread that was set up at the table, that was at the Hebrew table, was at the Egyptian table, that Their bread was abominable, but it wasn't. No, it was the same bread. They was eating the same thing, right? Or are you talking about some stuff that they saw written on the walls or a voucher thing? I said, mm-mm. No, they were in the same place. But the Egyptians felt a certain way about the Hebrews. They hated us. To this very day, they hate us. To this very day, the world hates us. And that's this word, tuabo. Tuaba. That's how, it's a feeling. It's a feeling. So when Yahweh said, don't lay with a man like she a woman, he hates that. It's a feeling. It's him getting into his feelings. Genesis 46:34. We're going to start at 33. Again, it's it says, and it shall come to pass, when Pharaoh shall call you, and shall say, what is your occupation? That you shall say, thy servant's trade hath been about cattle from our youth, even until now, both we and also our fathers, that ye may dwell in the land of Goshen. For every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. The way your job is about, I hate your job. First of all, I hate you. Second of all, I hate what you're doing. You know, because when you're talking about the occupation, that's what you do. That's what you do for a living. How do you make a living? I'm a goat herder. I take care of cattle. You take care of cattle. Man, get away from me. We got cities of gold over here. You see all these pyramids? You see all this stuff we built? You see all these storehouses of grandness? And you're a goat herder? Man, get out of here with that, man. I don't want no dealings with you. You're abominable to me. I can't stand the fact that you're a goat herder. I can't stand the fact that you're milking these cows and this and that. And the, I can't stand it. I hate it. They're in their feelings. So now, let's go back to Leviticus. All right. Says, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. Yahweh is in his feelings right now. 23, neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile themselves within. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast you out before you. In other words, I was so abhorred with the nations doing this. I don't want my people doing this. They nasty. You can't be nasty and serve me. I hate the fact that they're doing this. I hate that a woman is standing before a horse ready to receive his seed. I hate that a man lies with a man like this, a woman. I didn't make you like that. You cannot be like that. So any guy or any minister out here, and that's the more abominable thing to the Most High, the fact that you have ministers and preachers out here defending it when it clearly says this, clearly says, I hate this. I don't like this. See? Hold on for a second. Right? Says, keep on going. It says, defile ye not yourselves in any of these things, for all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. And the land is defiled. Therefore I do visit it, the iniquity there on it, and of the land itself vomited out to her inhabitants. Verse 26. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, same word. Neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourns among you. Wait a minute. So these rules ain't just for Israel? It's not. This is not just something that the God of Israel thinks, the God of the whole earth thinks this. Any stranger that comes among you, don't do it. So when you think about these men who have these churches, and they say God is there, but yet you have all these homosexual people, and you know they're homosexual, and you know they're running rampant, and you know they're going all this, and this is your praise and your worship to the Most High. Do you think that's accepted? It's defiled. It's a defiled thing. He hates it. He hates the fact that this person outright and blatant with it. And then you, being the shepherd of it, are even more so guilty because you're the shepherd of it. You're not saying anything. Matter of fact, you're supporting it. Why? Because the LGBT movement says, and then this, that, and another said, you got preachers. It was a man on there, and I watched it. It was a little clip. A prominent guy named Ben X. And he's one of those pastors. And he's sitting up there, and he was preaching against it. But he was on the show with three transgenders. And the transgenders pressured him into making him say different things. See, Yahweh made a man and a woman. They said, you are assigned a gender at birth. Wait a minute. Yeah, you are. The one you're born with. Yahweh assigned men with male genitalia, and Yahweh assigned women with female genitalia. That's your signature. That's his signature. Assignment. No, he doesn't know if he's a girl or a boy. Yes, he do. Soon as he's born. Because Yahweh gave him that genitalia. Matter of fact, they have sonograms now. You know whether he's a girl or a boy before he comes out. Matter of fact, because they have sonograms now. They have all these imaging things. And why was the imaging things there? To prepare you. You know? To prepare you. He says, therefore you shall keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nations, nor any stranger that sojourneth among you. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled. The land spew not you out. I mean, that land spew not you out also, when you defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before it. For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that committed them, shall be cut off from among the people. In other words, I'm not playing with you. You're getting cut down. You can't be around us, and you definitely can't be around me. So how is it that you as a preacher, going to say, it's okay, you'll still go to heaven committing these acts? It's fine. Everybody, now you got the guy going around telling them, it don't matter what you do, everybody's going to heaven. Doesn't matter because God is love. So everybody's going to heaven. You can go here and do all these different things. God is love. He loves you. Everything's fine. But not so, says Yahweh. But I know that's the Old Testament. That's all we ever did was look into the Old Testament. And only the Old Testament supports this whole non-homosexuality act. Well, let's look into the New Testament and see what says the New Testament. And we're going to start in the book of Matthew, chapter 4, verse 23. Any questions or comments so far? All right. Matthew 4:23. And it says, and Yahushua went about all Galilee, teaching in all their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. So it was sick people there. It was people who had diseases. You know, leprosy was running rampant at the time. You know, who cares? It was some people who had stomach ache. That's all he did. But when we look up this word disease in the Greek, number 3119, right? This word is malakia, and it means softness. That means that is in veneration. So that something that is de-able, debilitated. So he was just healing the soft people. They were soft. You know, they were just tender. But let's look into another word. It's another word there. Number 3120. And that word in the Greek. Number 3120. That word is malakos. And it says, and I find this funny, because in another word we're going to look at, it says the same thing. Of a certain, of uncertain affinity. It don't know if it's male or female. It says, of uncertain affinity, that is fine, in closing, figuratively, a catamite. Now, do anybody know what a catamite is? Anybody knows what a catamite is? Anybody got a dictionary? Can you look in the, can you look? Shalom, my brother. Came right on time. Mr. Dictionary Man. My brother, how about, can you look up catamite? I'll even spell it for you since it's right in front of my face. There's no way I can mess it up. C-A-T-A-M-I-T-E.
Catamite. A boy kept by a pederast.
A boy kept by a pederast. And pederast is where we get the word pedophile from. So this was a little boy that was being kept for sexual reasons, right? And this is the word for disease. So it's not so much talking about leprosy or any of those rampant diseases, but it has a homosexual tendency to it that the God of the New Testament was going around healing people from. So his name is Yahushua. He looked up the word pederast. The word pederast means a man who desires or engages in sexual activity with a boy. Pedophile. Pederast. See, but this is something that, Todaki, this is something that the God of the New Testament was going around healing people up. He didn't want you doing that. So when people say, well, there's nothing in the New Testament saying that anything talking about homosexuality and this, that, and another, they're lying. They don't want to delve that far. You know? This is something that was never acceptable in the eyes of the Most High. And when Yahushua was healing these men of that, going through the synagogues, teaching, preaching, healing people of all manner of disease and sickness, disease being your homosexual ways. So there was men looking at little boys desiring them. So NAMBLA was all the way back then. NAMBLA, National Association of Man Boy Love. It was grown men looking at little boys in sexual manners way back when. What's the name of To Catch a Criminal? That's what Yahushua was the original To Catch a Criminal. But with that guy who was catching the guys over there trying to get the little children for having sex. Yahushua was the original one, and he was healing them from it. Yes, sir. See, he was healing people of that, and that's in the New Testament. Well, let's look at another one. by the mouth of two witnesses, two or three. Let's look in the letter that our brother Shaul wrote. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Starting at verse 9. We're going 9 to 11, but because there is a thought here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting at verse 9, it says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of Yah? Be not deceived." Be not deceived. So what I'm about to tell you, some people are going to tell you the opposite. Don't believe them. Right? He says, "Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind." Now, we're going to look at two. The word effeminate is the same word, that same word, malakos, that was talking about the pederast. So all you guys out there, is looking at these little boys, y'all ain't inheriting the kingdom of heaven if y'all don't change your ways. Stop it. And don't let the preacher tell you that it's okay. Be not deceived. If you value the treasures of the Most High more, if that's where your heart is, stop your actions, right? But now let's look at this other one. Abusers of themselves with mankind. In the Greek, number 733. And this word is arsenokotes. And it's a combination of two words, but it says it's from number 730 and number 2845 in the Greek. And it says a sodomite. Now, I'm pretty sure everybody knows what sodomite is. These are people who will not inherit the kingdom of the Most High, no matter what your preacher says. It was said in the Old Testament. Now, it's said in the New Testament. The sentiment, Yahweh did not have a change of heart on this one. He didn't have a change of heart and say, "Well, I said it wasn't okay. It wasn't okay back then, but now it's okay now." No, it's not like that. You know? It's not like that. He don't want that here. And to have, see, that's an abomination. He hates that. But what he hates even more is that there are men out here saying that they speak for him and promoting this lifestyle. That's more abominable. That's more abominable than the act itself. You're not getting into heaven, and you're not letting anybody else get into heaven because you're saying this is okay. I'm saying it's not, but you're saying it's okay. You are causing people, you're telling somebody, you know what you're doing? You're causing them not to repent because when they find out it's wrong, they're supposed to repent. They're supposed to make that 180 and start doing what was right. But you're telling them it's okay, so they think it's right. When you're the leader, they look to you for leadership, look for you for guidance. Right? It says, abuser of men. And when you look at the two words that it comes from, number 730 in the Greek, that word is aharnein, and it means a male. And number 2845, that word is koite, and it means a place of laying down by extension. It says a couch by extension, a cohabitation. So you're not, if you're a man, you're not supposed to lay down or cohabitate with another man. Thus saith Yahweh. I don't care what your preachers say. It don't make a difference. All these LGs, pick any other letters you want. It don't make it right. You can make up any acronyms you feel like it. It don't make it right. Yahweh will not accept that. See? He's not going to accept it. But let's keep reading. It says, see, because here's another part that we don't want to miss. He says, know ye not, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of Yah. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of Yah. Verse 11, very important. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Master Yahushua and by the Spirit of our Mighty One. You don't have to stay in that predicament, right? Remember the story. Remember who's writing this. Shaul is writing this. This is a man who himself says, I'm the least. I'm the chief sinner. I'm the least of the apostles. Me personally, I started killing these dudes. This is my beginnings. My beginnings with the church was me killing them. Anybody who went against our traditions, the traditions of the elders, I slaughtered them, thinking I was doing God a service. That's what I was doing. This is how I started off. But look at me now. I repented, and now I'm one of the chief people who are out here telling you, go to Yahushua. You know? So you don't have to stay in that way. And that's what he was saying here. Look, at one time, y'all were extortionists, y'all were thieves, y'all were homosexual, y'all was this, that, and that. Y'all was doing all these things. But now you are washed by that spirit. You are washed by that spirit. But means you're doing the opposite. You're washed by the spirit. You're sanctified by the blood. So you don't practice that anymore. And this is in the New Testament. No, there is no excuse for any preacher to say that that's okay, according to this word. America can say it's okay. It's America. But don't say the Most High says it's okay, because he doesn't. He does not agree with this. He does not agree with men laying down with men. They don't have the right. In America, you have that right. But Yahweh says no. So now, who are you going to listen to? Where is your heart? Because the word says that wherever your heart is, wherever you store them treasures at, that's the one you are to follow. You know? So, any questions or comments? Because that was the lesson. You know? Old Testament, New Testament preachers, if you are a preacher and you're hearing this, stop saying, and you are saying, and you are promoting the homosexual lifestyle and the abomination that Yahweh calls an abomination, stop it. You are now causing men not to get salvation, and you ain't getting it either. You know, for your own sakes, for your own sakes and the sakes of the people that you say you love. You say that that you are the shepherd of, you say that you would lie down your life for, let it go. Because the Most High, he's not pleased with that. And he'll never be pleased with that. All right? So, any questions or comments about anything? All right. This is the first, name of it. Magnify the law and make it honorable. I gotta get used to saying that. So, Cocoon. You know, it's funny, our brother talked about servitude yesterday. You know, but who's going to serve Yahweh? You know, you can't serve Yahweh and go, well, the word says this, but, and this says that, but, you're not serving the Most High with all these buts, right? says, "Blessed are you, Yahweh, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one, who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Now one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled, but you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate king. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the mighty one, who is trustworthy in all his words." Amen. Hallelujah. 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 But Yah, in the name of thy son, Yahushua HaMashiach, Savior, Redeemer, and soon coming King. Father, we thank you once again for the breath of life. We thank you for this time of Sukkot, Father. We thank you for your holy days, which you've set apart for us to meet with you, Father. We thank you for looking down upon us with grace and mercy, Father, and protecting us and out here in this wilderness for the time that we're out here. We pray that you continue to open our minds, continue to open our hearts, and continue to open our ears to your word. Pray that you put your spirit upon our brother Hadar as he brings forth your word later on today. Use him as you see fit, Father. Amen. Fill him up and let him release your spirit and your wisdom and your lesson upon us, Father. Father, we ask that you continue to watch over all of Israel. Continue to watch over our sons and our daughters who are not here. Continue to watch over our brother Shafu'al and his family and his company as they're out about in the world right now. You know, and just thank you for this time, Father. Just thank you. It's too short, and we can't wait for you to get to that real Sabbath, Father, where it doesn't end. You know, being with you forever. Like David said, far better one day in your court than 1,000 years anywhere else. Father, we just can't wait. Yahushua's name, we just give you thanks, praise, glory, and honor. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, Jah, the wicked are up on Ayanai in their multitude, trying to conquer Ayanai. Give ear to our supplication.
Is that God? Son of Nun, who brought I and I across River Jordan, and though the Amorites and the Hittites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites all tried to fight against the Israelites, Jah gave us victory before the daylight. 'Cause we call on Jah, Jehovah and I and the Gideon, Israel.
everybody to stop.